Matthew chapter 7 is the passage I want to look at this morning, verses 24 to 27. Pretty short, and it's a new series I would like to kick off that I've titled Core Essentials, Transforming Habits for a New Year. And I know that sounds almost like a workout regimen at the health club, but in many ways it's not that much different when we think about the life of faith. So we're going to look at what I call core essentials over the next several weeks. And I want to begin by looking at Matthew 7. Hear the word of God as Jesus says this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." During Jesus' ministry, multitudes of people gathered to hear him speak. Some were hoping to receive healing of disease and sickness. Others wanted to be inspired. Some wanted to just see a miracle performed. And as many people were listening to this new rabbi, this young radical preacher who was shaking things up, Jesus had already taught many teachings regarding the kingdom of God. And he paused and gave this challenge that we just read in verse 24 to 27. And notice his words and challenge. Yes, listen to what I have to say. Hear the word of God. But hearing is not enough. He calls them to respond. Jesus is saying, yes, if you really think about what he's saying in an offensive way, your entire life must be centered on him and his words. Because if you don't, the consequences of not centering your life upon him and his teachings would be disastrous for you and your life and future. These are no mere words of a nice Jewish rabbi. These are not the teachings of a moral educator or inspiring feel-good preacher. This is coming from the Lord himself. Let us not miss that what he just said is absolutely crazy if you think about it. To say that if you don't center your life upon me and my teaching, your life is like a house built on the sand and it will come crashing down. But this is the words that Jesus spoke. He's referring to two people, not a bunch on the spectrum, two. Two people on the outside who, as they are hearing Jesus' words, seem virtually identical from the outside. And yet, upon further inspection, the foundation of their lives were completely different. To the unseen eye, they looked identical. But when the storm came, what their lives were built upon, whether it was centered upon him or not, was revealed. Both heard the words of Jesus. Both may have even been moved with emotion, been challenged, blessed, filled, even shed some tears, left with great conviction. Both could have experienced those things, but it was the one that put those words into practice that made all the difference in the world. That is what Jesus is trying to say. The man who heard Jesus' words, intellectually assented that he agreed with it, liked to hear it, may have been even moved emotionally, but did not live it out in action. And the word that we often don't like in Christian circles, obedience, was the key. This person, in the end, though he gave a listening ear in an audience to Jesus, he may have even been moved in his heart and emotion, but ultimately was a self-made savior and did not build his life, his house, upon the person of Christ and his teaching with disastrous consequences. So please, as we look at Jesus' teaching over the next couple of weeks regarding these core essentials that we must have in our lives, do not ever forget the radicalness of the call of the gospel. He did not come just to make us nice people or people to feel good, but he said, unless your life is centered up upon me and my words, your life is like a house built on sand and it will come crashing down. If I could just sum up what I'm trying to say, is that obedience is very important, not as a way of salvation, but as true evidence of it. And often in Protestant churches, because we talk so much about grace, and I do that a lot too, and we need to, but we must equally balance it out with God's word and with Jesus' own teaching regarding the importance of obedience and action when it comes to the things of God in our lives. And it cannot be any more clear in the summary of Jesus' teaching in the verses that we just read. We find this throughout the scriptures in both Old Testament and New. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. In Matthew 12:48-50, we have read, he replied to him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Jesus asked, pointing to his disciples who left everything to follow him. Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever what? Does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Those are my true family. Those that not just listen, but do the will of the Father. Even Paul, who we just read in our series going through 1 Corinthians this past fall and early winter, says in Romans 2:12, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who what? Obey the law who will be declared righteous. And John, the beloved apostle and disciple of Jesus, 1 John 2, starting in verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That is the true test. We are not preaching that obedience earns you salvation, but I believe it is evidence of the gift of salvation that you receive. Let us not forget that when we often say it's just all about grace. Well, it is. But we have heard this morning, as important as grace is, that our active obedience to the commands of Christ are critically important in our lives. And so over the next couple of Sundays, we're going to look at some of the words and teachings and commands of Jesus as we together as a community think about how do we live this out, not just as individuals, but together as a family, as a body. The gospel is never just about religion or being a better person or another philosophy of life. Jesus' teachings is not about how to improve your life or make you happy or feel good about yourself and become more moral or kind. Think about what we just read. It is a radical message with vast implications for our lives. Build your life upon Him and Him alone, and you will build a life that is standing upon a rock foundation. Don't do it, and your life will implode. These are not words of just a nice pastor. These are the very words of God coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And whether we have been walking in faith for decades or we're new to exploring the things of God, I believe this challenge, and over the next couple of Sundays, will be extremely important and relevant. And so as we begin a new year, as you're off to hopefully some New Year's resolutions to be better, eat healthier, have better habits, they're all great things. I've made some myself, and I'll share that as we go throughout this series. But I want to look at, together, some core essentials of life and faith that I've titled Transforming Habits for a New Year. So next Sunday, we'll look at Luke 24, and I've titled it Feasting on the Living Word. I'm a foodie. If there's good food, I will show up. And so I want to apply that analogy and love for food to God's Word. What a great time to think about our habits regarding God's Word being sweeter than honey to our lips in the beginning of this new year. Feasting on the Living Word. January 20th from Luke 11, one of my favorite teachings on the spirit of prayer. Breathing, life-giving prayer as our next core essential that we will look at this month. Austin will speak, Pastor Austin, on the 27th, flowing with our series. He'll share what that is very soon. We'll talk about joy in service from John chapter 3, why it should never be a burden. It is a privilege to serve the people of God. What does your service look like in this new year? We want on the 10th of February to talk about growing in joyful generosity. Our relationship to money is critically important. It will make you or break you in your life. And Jesus talked about our relationship to money more than any other topic when you study the Gospels. He knows what gives us joy, what gives us worry, why we often fret away because of the issue of money and all that is related to that topic. And so we want to talk about growing in joyful generosity. 17th, we'll talk about hungering for transforming worship. What is our relationship to the corporate body of Christ, our local church? What can we think about with that being a core essential? And on February 24th, proclaiming the gospel boldly. Whether you are an introvert or an extrovert, we are called by Jesus to preach the word. You may not have the pulpit regularly like myself here, but we are all called to be evangelists, to share the good news in some shape or form in our lives. And that Sunday we're going to talk and study how different people proclaim the gospel in different ways as part of the core essentials of the Christian life. We will have maybe one or two spots that I'm still trying to figure out. And if you have a very keen core essential that you feel, Pastor, you got to talk about, email me or text me, and I will seriously consider it as one of my one or two final topics in this series. So I put that out there. I think that's the beauty of the church. Together, we can obey Christ's command in community. Please don't think as you start the new year, oh boy, my prayer, my evangelism, my generosity is terrible. What am I going to do? Woe is me. No, we do it together. And that's the power and beauty of the community of Jesus Christ called the local church. And so, how does the series sound, okay? We'll go through some of these basics that we all need to consider doing faithfully in the new year. And so I look forward to also being challenged in my own life and heart. With that, please join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to approach the Lord's table in communion.